and grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like us this morning and in the midst of all of the chaos and confusion that's going on in this nation of ours, and it's just pretty disturbing, isn't it, as you observe how it's like crowds of people are just a powder keg now, ready to explode from anything. And I think I have a picture of that. This is kind of America today, as we see it presented in the news in many different ways. And even within that group, I would imagine there is great diversity, and you could have a fight break out even among those who feel they're united in Black Lives Matter if other issues come up. Because there is so much division, there is so much hatred within our land today. And so it really begs the question, where in the world are we going to find commonality in the midst of all the chaos? I just looked at a news feed this morning. I understand in Atlanta last night, another individual was shot by a police officer, and a Wendy's was burnt down as a result of that, and there's all kinds of rioting going on there now. What's going to heal our land? What's going to heal people's lives in the midst of the chaos that you and I are experiencing? Well, I'd like us to go back to the Psalm 100, and there it is on the screen. But what beautiful words. Think about these words. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Know that Yahweh is Elohim. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. But did you hear the middle of that psalm? Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if every citizen of the United States of America would come to realize and believe and know Yahweh, the Lord. Yahweh is the Lord who was in speaking through the burning bush. Remember when Moses was called to the burning bush and the bush wasn't being consumed by the fire? And so it drew Moses' attention, and he goes near the bush, and God directs Moses to go to Egypt and demand Pharaoh to let God's people go. They were in slavery. And remember, Moses asked, well, who should I say sent me? Remember what God said? I am who I am. The holiest name of God, Yahweh. And so holy that generally the Jews would not even speak that name of God. They felt it was so honorable that it would be disrespectful even to say the name Yahweh. And so God declares to us, Yahweh, I am who I am, is Elohim, is God. Something I learned about Elohim I never knew. Just caught that this past week in my studies, is that noun is a plural. It's a plural. The Trinity is all over Scripture. And so when God says that when the Lord says he is God, plural, right away the Trinity, the three distinct persons, God is saying, I am Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what else does God say in these words? But he says he is the one who made you, and he is the one who has made me. Now think about that. If we're looking for something as humankind that we can hold on to in common, it's that. That we are all God's creation. And maybe we can bring that picture up again. As you look at that picture and the variety of people that are in that picture, in that crowd, and you think of all the crowds that you've seen on TV, rioting or otherwise, every one of those people that you see in that picture are in common with you and me sitting in the sanctuary. We have all been created by Yahweh. Isn't that awesome? There is the commonality that the world seems to be looking for, but it cannot be found. And God proves himself as God through the very thing that he has done, and that is creation. And as we look at creation, it's just fascinating. You know, as scientists study creation and trying scientifically to figure out how life began. Boy, there's a whole nother controversial study, because every man likes to put all of his sinful impressions into pure science. But as we think about science, I think of Robert Jastrow, an astronomer, many years ago. But Robert Jastrow was avid atheist. God does not exist. And yet, as he was studying the universe, he came to the conclusion in his studies of the Big Bang Theory, and he thought, okay, there was this mass that was there before the universe began, and this exploded, and you have this expansive universe. And it led Robert Jastrow to ask the question, where did that mass come from? And that day, he changed from being an atheist to an agnostic, to at least acknowledge that there's some kind of divine power out there that has created the expanse of the universe and all life in it. And it was through observing creation, an atheist observing creation came to that conclusion scientifically. Well, everything that is created is certainly proof of God. And, you know, it just boggles my mind that when we look at just the marvel of God's creation, how people still deny God's existence. For instance, the Helix Nebula, which the Hubble telescope had found, and I think we have a picture of that for the screen. There it is. I mean, and if you zoom out from that, it looks just like an eyeball. And it does there too, but even more so as you see the expanse around it. It's just like the eye of God looking upon all that he has created. I mean, isn't that beautiful? And how can people look at that and say, huh, just an accident? Or we can go from the expanse of the universe way to the very small in its expanse and look at that. That's an actual microscopic picture. And I always forget the name of this. It's laminins. Anybody studied laminins? But they're a foundation to the proteins in our body. So in your body and in my body, our bodies look like that microscopically, but there's millions of little crosses within our bodies. Isn't that cool? That even in our bodies, the cross is revealed in what God has created in our very makeup. And so we praise God for the incredible creation that we are blessed to be a part of. And no matter how big or how small, God is the one who has created us all. And sadly, though, the majority of the people in the world do not accept that. But there's the common ground that you and I have. You know, Pastor Hesse, he's the grocery store singer these days. He's popular at King Soopers, yes, holding his fist up. And he was singing, "This is the day," just going down the aisles of the grocery store. And this black guy by the name of Calvin came up and joined with Pastor Hesse and started singing. And they were just a little chorus singing in King Soopers. Well, that opened up conversation, found out that Calvin is an evangelist, has traveled the world and the country, and right now is in Greeley, Colorado. And Calvin, probably in his 30s, I'm guessing. And anyway, Pastor Hesse invited him to come to our Bible study on Thursday mornings. And so Calvin came. So you have all these old, white, cantankerous Lutheran guys there. And then here's young, black Calvin that walks into the room. But you know what? I don't think anybody noticed Calvin being black or we being old, cantankerous, white guys, because with the Lord, knowing our Creator, knowing our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together, we saw each other as we are, brothers. The commonality can only be found in God. And through Him alone can there be healing. And so God announces to the world, it is He who made us. It is He who made us. And no matter what science wants to try to do to disprove that, no matter what others want to do through deceptive preaching to try and lead people astray from that truth isn't going away. It's absolute. God does not change, and God is the Creator of all things, and we are so blessed and honored to know Him. But sadly, the world promotes something much different, the unbelieving world. And it's the whole concept of evolution. It's the whole concept of God doesn't exist. This whole thing is accidental. Your life is an accident. My life is an accident. We're just a higher form of lower creatures. So there's nothing uniquely different about you and me. And hey, if there's no Creator, if there's no God, then guess what? I get to make up the rules for myself because there's no standard. And I have to determine what that is for me. And you can do that for yourself. But how do you think that's going to work out? Or should I ask, how is that working out? It creates chaos. We are not capable of determining what truth is. But God has established truth. And the tragedy in all of this is it devalues human life. If you take the Creator away, if we're just a cataclysmic accident, it totally devalues human life. It totally dishonors who you and I are. And it's no wonder that people can look upon one another with absolute hatred just based on the color of skin. Life is devalued. 2,500. It's an interesting number. It's a sad number. I think I read where in Colorado, in the 3 months now we've been on the COVID journey, that isn't we supposedly 1,300 have died? Somewhere around that, over a three-month period, today, 2,500 are going to die. And it's not from a disease, it's not from some kind of weakness, but it's abortion. 2,500 little babies in the womb are going to be sucked out of the womb today on average in America. Their life just taken away like that. That's where things go if we deny the Creator. And it not only goes there, but it goes to racism. I can choose to hate somebody if they're black, or I can choose to hate them if they're Hispanic, or I can choose to hate them if they're white. And in Africa, they even choose to hate each other if their skin's a different color of black, a different level of black. When the Creator is taken out of the picture, life literally goes down the tubes and is totally devalued. And there is no commonality. But it's more about, I'm going to try to rule over you, I'm going to try to get my way over your way, and I'm just in this thing to survive, right? And so we see America falling apart, but it's been a long setup, I believe, through Satan's tools to deny the most clear fact that God has made Yahweh is Elohim. There is no other. The Lord, He is God, and He is the one who has created us. Wow. That's truth. No matter if the whole world denies it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that reality stands. You know, I love Proverbs, and it's in Proverbs chapter 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And not fear in the sense of being afraid of God, of being afraid of Yahweh, but fear means to honor, to respect, to acknowledge. To honor and to respect and to acknowledge Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And what does God say about Himself in this psalm? For He is good. He is good. The Lord is good and His love. Thanks, Angela, for the great message to the kids on love. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And God has not only proven Himself through what He has created, but He continues to reveal and prove Himself through love like the world does not know. God's unconditional love that is steadfast, it is unchanging. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, in our Old Testament reading this morning, as God related to the Israelites, verse 4 of Exodus 19, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Even though they were rebelling against God, God remained faithful to the Israelites and He delivered them in that incredible, most spectacular way. Or we consider the gospel reading this morning in Matthew 9:36. Jesus looks upon the crowd, doesn't He, with compassion, has compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to think of those words of Jesus when you turn on the TV and you see the rioting, burning businesses down, and just the hatred all over the place. That's exactly the crowds that Jesus is describing. And the problem is they don't have a shepherd. The problem is they deny that Yahweh is Elohim, that He is the one and only true God. And they're lost, they're confused, they're straying. But in the mix of all of this, God doesn't write us off, does He? How about the epistle reading today? And here's the heart and core of the gospel, isn't it? But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a love. How do you think Jesus looks upon crowds of hatred and division and people intentionally destroying other people's lives and property? He looks upon them with love. And through that love, desiring that they would have a change of heart. That they would see God as He is. That they would recognize their sin and what they're doing. And in their hearts, and that they would turn to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And it's the same for every one of us in this room, because we may not be out there rioting and we may not be burning businesses down, but we do horrible things also. We are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And how does God look upon you and me? Maybe you had a really bad week this past week. Maybe it's almost to the point of things that happened, you're thinking, I don't know if God can even love me anymore. I don't know if God could forgive me for what I've done. And what does God say? But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, God reconciles us to Himself. Yahweh is Elohim, and he is good, meaning perfect. You know, God is the only one that can make that claim in his own essence and power and strength, that he is perfectly good, and we aren't. But by his grace, by the cross that we see here, and the millions of crosses that are in our body that we can't even see, but isn't it kind of cool to know they're there? We're walking around with millions. We don't need the jewelry. We've got millions of crosses in our body as a reminder to us of how greatly we are loved by the one who created us and the one who continues to love us and has delivered us. And so God's steadfast love, but also God is a God of faithfulness. And so unlike the world where the messages change almost by the hour, we see that now, even in light of the virus, you don't know what to believe. God is faithful. He's absolutely trustworthy. He keeps his every promise. When he declares something, it stands forever. And I think of the first gospel promise, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God patiently dialogues with them, looking for confession, doesn't get that, but despite all that, God continues to love them, and he promises to them the seed of the woman, who is no other than Jesus Christ himself. And so God, through the generations, God endured the pain and the mockery of himself by man, but he remained faithful to his promise. And you know what? That's the same for us this very day. You know, don't you love these words? For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations, from generation to generation. We think all the way back to God delivering his people out of Egypt. We think of God's people being in exile in Babylon when the first temple was destroyed. We think of God's people in the early church in 70 AD when the temple again was destroyed. We go to the Reformation era. We go to the World Wars. We go to Vietnam. We go to 9/11. We go to the recession or the depression even before that. And we come to COVID-19 now. And the consistency, the commonality throughout that expanse of history is that God has not changed. And he remains faithful in his promises. Wow. That gives a different perspective, doesn't it? As we approach a new day of life on this earth. Even in the midst of the confusion and the chaos and the concerns of what we see going on, because of God's steadfast love, because of his faithfulness, we live with these characteristics. First of all, we're blessed to know him. We're blessed to be able to proclaim, as we've done in these great hymns today, thanks, Sharon, for leading us in that, but to proclaim the triune God, to proclaim Yahweh is Elohim. What a truth to rejoice about and praise God. And yes, he empowers us then to serve him. And that's why you and I are on this earth. That is our purpose. Isn't it wonderful to have a purpose? You know, burning businesses down, rioting, doing all those kinds of things, a lot of people just have no vision. They have no purpose. But God gives us purpose in life, and that purpose is really to serve him. It's to worship him. It's to honor him with our lives, and it's to honor one another as fellow human beings. And we are blessed to be his people. We are blessed to be his sheep. Think about that. The Almighty God, through all those generations and long before that, from eternity past, he knows you and me specifically. And he's called us by name through baptism, through hearing his word. And God looks upon you and me and says, I just love you, my precious child. I just love you, my precious little lamb. And that's our life. That is our life each and every day that we live. And so through him, we are given joy. We can shout for joy, and we're doing that this morning. Through him, we can come and praise him as we do, and we can do that with hearts of true, genuine thanksgiving in knowing that how blessed we are. This day would not have happened without God saying, this day is going to happen. You and I individually having another day of life would not have happened without God determining that we would live another day upon this earth. You ever think of how incredible that reality is? Well, we go to those crowds again. And I think we have another picture of crowds, and there's even more of a massive crowd. Sheep, there may be Christians in there, but for the most part, probably sheep without a shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us a special calling. The harvest is plentiful, right? Jesus says, but the laborers are few. Who's going to go out and work in the harvest? Well, guess what? It's you and me. We're honored. We're blessed. We know and we believe and we trust that Yahweh is Elohim. And we are blessed to know that he created us. And when we look at some other individual, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if they're spitting in our face. We can look upon that individual with honor. In the sense that that person was created by God and Jesus died for that person too. And you know what? Suddenly all these barriers start to peel away and there's commonality that we know and that we can have the honor to share with another individual. What a joy for somebody that is lost without a shepherd to hear from you and from me. By the way, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Yahweh. And suddenly, there's commonality. Suddenly, whether you're black, Hispanic, white, Native American, it doesn't matter what race, color, or status in life, we can walk into a room together and we can celebrate. We're God's children. We can celebrate that common faith and declaration. Yahweh is Elohim. In his precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.